High Five Casino.
High Five Casino is a social casino with real prizes and big Vegas hits at highfivecasino.com. The hottest games right from Vegas, and all winnings go straight to your bank account. Hundreds of exclusive games, free daily rewards, and come back to get free coins every 4 hours. Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details at high5casino.com.
High Five Casino.
Hey, do you want to get better at shooting without spending money on ammo or time at the range? Well, you're going to love the technology that is Mantis X. 94% of shooters, they improve within 20 minutes using Mantis X. Now, Mantis X is an at-home training system that you use with your own gun. It's called dry fire practice. It's high-tech but very simple to use, and it gives you real-time feedback on your shooting technique. You simply attach it to your gun. It takes seconds. You download your easy-to-use app. You follow the instructions, and you're good to go. You can use it at home. You can use it at the range. Even the Marines, the Army, Special Forces, they all use Mantis X to become the most effective force in the world. Mantis X is military technology, but all at a very affordable price. So be a responsible gun owner. Increase your competence and confidence today with Mantis X. You're going to be amazed at how quickly your shooting will improve while saving a ton of money on ammo. Now, just go to their website. It's MantisX.com. That's M-A-N-T-I-S-X.com.
This is the Sean Hannity Show podcast.
I am so annoyed. A friend of mine's trying to talk me off the ledge today over this meeting with Ryan and Donald Trump. It's frustrating to me. We'll get to that. Glad you're with us. Write down our toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. It's 800-941-SEAN if you want to join us. Now, I want you to keep in mind before we even get to what's going on with Ryan and Trump and the powwow. I mean, they released this joint statement today. You know what it reminded me of? America, either a president, vice president, secretary of state meeting with radical mullahs in Iran or the former Soviet Union and basically a preordained or prepared statement. We're not going to endorse, but yeah, there's so much we're blah, 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 blah. It just sounds like spin to me. Drives me nuts. Now, keep in mind before we talk about this, Bernie Sanders predicting Trump will crush Hillary Clinton. Half of Bernie's West Virginia voters say they'll back Trump over Hillary. Hillary donors warning that she might lose all of the remaining primaries. Remember, back in 2008, she got 240,000 votes in West Virginia. 2008, and she got 85,000, less than 85,000 the other night. An utter disaster. And then you got everybody else freaking out because Trump is tied with her in Pennsylvania, Florida, and Ohio. He's actually winning by 4 in Ohio. Sid Vicious is saying, oh, he's so confident. My understanding is the Hillary email operation will conclude, and the Department of Justice will issue a statement at the end of its investigation. Quote, it was not the case that either Clinton or her aides intentionally mishandled classified information. Well, mishandling of information, intentional or not, is a felony. So maybe all these conversations, because Clinton's lawyers admit they've been in constant contact with the Justice Department. And then yesterday we found out, well, they have all these donations from the Justice Department employees. Guess to who? Well, it's not to Bernie. It's not to Trump. It's to Hillary Clinton. But there was a public beatdown, really, by the FBI director, James Comey, saying, yeah, this is an investigation, a criminal investigation. Now, the FBI director was also questioned about why Hillary is yet to be indicted. Anyway, he was asked about complaints from security clearance holders that they would be in jail if they acted similarly to Clinton. And he said directly, there's no special set of rules for anybody that the FBI investigates. We want to do it well. We want to do it promptly. I feel pressure to do both of these things. As between the two things, we will always choose well. And he said, I don't tether to any external deadline. But, you know, things are moving. I mean, they did interview Uma Abedin, a.k.a. Mrs. Anthony Weiner. And they did interview Cheryl Mills, the close aide of Hillary Clinton. And she got up all pissed off and walked out of the room. And she came back, then walked out. Then she came back, walked out. She had to confer with her lawyer. Mm-hmm. Because apparently they asked questions that they weren't anticipating. What does that mean? So that's pretty funny. Before we get into this powwow this meeting of the minds with Trump and Paul Ryan, the Washington Post has now assigned 20 reporters to dig up dirt on Donald Trump. Just 20? Anyway, well, by the way, do you think they're not going to find anything? Dirt diggers? So basically what the Washington Post, let me clarify what this really means. The Washington Post has assigned 20 reporters to smear and besmirch Trump as a campaign donation for Hillary. Because that's what it means, because otherwise, why wouldn't they assign 20 people to go after Hillary Clinton at the same time? You would think if they're going to be fair. There's a lot we don't know, Bob Woodward said. We have 20 people working on Trump. We're going to do a book. We're doing articles about every phase of his life. Okay, that's going to get interesting. Smear, slander, besmirch. I mean, it's just par for the course. Why are they doing it? To help the Democrats. Of course, that's why they're doing it. I wonder if they'll investigate this. A Daily Caller News Foundation investigation has revealed that Bill and Hillary Clinton received at least $100 million from autocratic Persian Gulf states and their leaders, which might undermine the Democratic presidential candidate's claim that she can carry out independent Middle Eastern policies. Now, we already know that I have made the claim, knowing that the Saudis have donated tons of money to the Clinton Foundation, of which she is a member. They've donated all of this money, millions and millions of dollars, as has United Arab Emirates, Kuwait, and all these other Middle Eastern places and countries. So has Hillary Clinton ever once, the champion of women's rights, ever spoken out against Saudi Arabia's Sharia law, where women can't drive, women can't vote, women can't get married unless they get permission, women can't work or go to school without permission, 4 male eyewitnesses needed for a woman to claim that rape has occurred? Where's Hillary, the great champion of women's rights? Where is she on these important issues? Could it be that she was bought and paid for? Certainly sounds like it. Anyway, so then it raises the question. Hillary won't respond to Donald Trump's repeated claims that she enabled her husband and his abuse of women like Paula Jones and Kathleen Willey and Juanita Broderick. Well, that sounds like it's, you know, great in a debate when Trump asks her why she tolerated her husband assaulting these women. Well, Hillary's answer yesterday was no comment. That's a great feminist role model. She was asked about Trump's attacks. I'm not going to let him run his campaign. I'll let him run his campaign as he chooses. I have nothing to say about him and how he's running his campaign. Well, where's the 20 reporters from the Washington Post investigating the claims of Juanita, Kathleen, and Paula Jones and what Hillary did to protect and enable him and help smear and slander and besmirch the, quote, women and the bimbo eruptions and all this other stuff? Now, if you think Trump has his hands full with Paul Ryan's to endorse or not to endorse dance Hamlet act that was going on all day today, well, you can hear about Elizabeth Warren's antics. Now, Warren is basically Bernie Sanders in a dress. She is a socialist statist. She announced the other day she might say yes if Hillary tapped her to be VP. She's the one that claimed to be Native American. And it turned out she was not a Native American. But when she was a professor at Harvard University, taught one class, $300,000 in payment for one class, she claimed, and the school claimed, that she was a Native American. Well, it turns out after they searched and searched and searched and searched and searched, there's no indication she's a Native American at all, even to this day. But she claims it's true because somebody in her family passed that information down to her. So they, you know, did she use that minority status for her own benefit? Interesting, isn't it? Anyway, in an interview, Warren didn't foreclose the possibility of being Hillary's running mate. I want to be clear. I love my job. I'm here in the United States as a Native. Oh, I'm just adding that part. As a Native American doing exactly what the people of Massachusetts sent me here to do. And she's not endorsed either Clinton or Sanders. The reason is she's closer politically to Sanders. But she's gone after Donald Trump on Twitter and asked if she'd rule out the possibility of joining the ticket. We'll call it the comrade ticket. He said, you know, this is something that right now we've got to get all our nominations settled on the Democratic side. For me, I'm going to keep doing my job every single day, and I'm not thinking about another job. Asked if she's spoken to Hillary recently? No, not recently. All right, which brings us to our top story of the day. I am frustrated. I'm trying to fight back my frustration here. Let's go to questions. Well, first, let's start with Reince Priebus. He was in the room. It was at the RNC place. I asked him today. He said, no, everybody's happy. Everyone's so happy. I'm not that happy. I don't like the idea that Paul Ryan, who's the Speaker of the House, and I'm going to be very blunt here, seems to be tougher on Donald Trump than Republicans have ever been with Barack Obama. Donald Trump's got to explain everything. It's not like we started this process, you know, 2 days ago. This has been going on a year. We know where he stands on the borders. We know where he stands on education. It goes back to the states. We know where he stands on his judicial philosophy, and he will release the names of the pool of candidates, and only that pool of candidates would he consider for the Supreme Court. We know where he stands on helping vets out because they've been screwed over by our government. We know he has said he wants to rebuild the military. He said that in his foreign policy speech and in multiple interviews with me. We know he has said he wants to be energy independent. We know he has said that he wants to repeal Obamacare and replace it with health savings accounts. He's told me that 10 times myself. We know that he wants to get more towards a balanced budget, likes the idea of the penny plan, which I support. So what part of this is Paul Ryan against? Why is this such a hard decision? It's, you know, then they released this statement today. I got the statement here in front of me, and it reads exactly like something that I would read if it was like the Kremlin and Washington have a summit. Not like Reykjavik when Reagan walked away, but have a summit together, and they come up with a statement. They probably spent more time talking about what the statement would be than what they actually discussed and negotiated in the room. The United States cannot afford another 4 years of the Obama White House, which is what Hillary Clinton represents. That is why it's critical Republicans unite around our shared principles, advance a conservative agenda, and do all we can to win this fall. With that focus, we had a great conversation this morning. While we were honest about our few differences, we recognize that there are also many important areas of common ground. We will be having additional discussions, but remain confident that there's a great opportunity to unify our party and win this fall, and we're totally committed to working together to achieve that goal. We are extremely proud of the fact that many millions of new voters have entered the primary system, far more than ever before in a Republican Party's history. That was our first meeting, but it will be a very positive step towards unification. So they pledged to work together, but no endorsement. Here's Ryan explaining his position on
this. Let me say this. I think we had a very encouraging meeting. Look, it's no secret that Donald Trump and I have had our differences. We talked about those differences today. That's common knowledge. The question is, what is that we need to do to unify the Republican Party and all strains of conservative wings in the party? We had a very good and encouraging, productive conversation on just how to do that. It was important that we discussed our differences that we have, but it was also important that we discussed the core principles that tie us all together. Principles like the Constitution, the separation of powers, the fact that we have an executive that is going way beyond the boundaries of the Constitution, and how it's important to us that we restore Article 1 of the Constitution. You know, it's the principle of self-government. We talked about life and how strongly we feel about this core principle. We talked about the Supreme Court and things like this. I was very encouraged with what I heard from Donald Trump today. I do believe that we are now planting the seeds to get ourselves unified, to bridge the gaps and differences. And so from here, we're going to go deeper into the policy areas to see where that common ground is and how we can make sure that we are operating off these same core principles. And so, yes, this is our first meeting. I was very encouraged with this meeting. But this is a process. It takes a little time. You don't put it together in 45 minutes. So that is why we had, like I said, a very good start to a process on how we unify.
I am just frustrated here. I can't really explain it. Encouraging. I'm very encouraged. I actually had a friend of mine who actually is not the biggest Trump fan write me about this today and happens to be a bigger fan of Paul Ryan. And he's trying to talk. He kind of knew that I'd be a little on the ledge today. And, you know, he tried to point out what it is that he thinks Ryan is doing. You know, Ryan more of a, I don't know, movement conservative, doesn't quite understand Trump, believes in limited government liberty. Well, I get all of that. But I'm looking at the concrete proposals that Trump has made here. And I understand nationalist, populist, conservative, understand it completely. But I just outlined this entire agenda. I'm not sure what needs to be negotiated now, and it just frustrates me. And I guess maybe he wants to use his influence as speaker and try and get some promises out of Trump. You know, a friend of mine said, well, what's wrong with that? Why wouldn't conservatives be happy that a conservative speaker in the House? Because I think he's outlined conservative solutions, and I think they should have just agreed on them. How long does it take to agree on building a wall? How long does it take to agree on ending Common Core and sending education back to the states? How long does it take to agree on, yes, we should be energy independent, all the above? How long does it take to agree eliminate Obamacare health care savings accounts? How long does it take to agree, yes, we got to take better care of our vets? Yes, we got to rebuild the military. Yes, we got to balance the budget. I mean, those are all things Trump has said. And I'm not advocating for him. I'm just telling you what his positions are. Maybe you want to look him in the eye, but okay, you look him in the eye and let him say it to you personally. Does that then satisfy you? I want to take you back. There have been people, especially on social media, that have been out there. Hannity, you have betrayed your promise to us in this process. And it's not that I'm sensitive about it, not that I really care a whole lot. I've told people what the truth is. But I want to go back to CPAC. I want to go back to 2015 CPAC when I spoke there. I want to, in other words, March of 2015, preparing for this election. That was the first time I interviewed Ted Cruz, Jeb Bush, Donald Trump, Marco Rubio. And I made a promise to you then. I made the promise numerous times also on radio and television. And this was the promise about what I would do in this coming election. This is March of 2015.
This is my pledge to you as somebody who's undecided. On both my radio and television program on the Fox News Channel, I promise you this. As somebody who has not made up his mind, I am going to give access to every single solitary candidate as often as I can, as often as they'll come. By the end of the process, I will ask them every question I can possibly think of. And then I am putting this all in your hands.
That's what I said in March of 2015. Oh, I guess I didn't break my pledge, because I think we have had the most access to every candidate imaginable. And we've been nice to every candidate imaginable. This is what I said at this year's CPAC convention.
The problem is at the end of this process, only one person is going to be the winner. And what I'm worried about here tonight is that if your candidate doesn't win, that some of you are going to be angry and emotional that your guy lost. And some of you are going to want to pout. And some of you are going to go on TV and radio and call my show and say, I can't support that guy. And then what's going to happen is you are giving half a vote to Hillary Rodham Clinton. I don't care if you support Trump, Cruz, Rubio, or Kasich. Any one of them are better than Hillary Clinton. But this is my question for all of you here at CPAC. Will you ask yourself in your heart, regardless of who the candidate is you support, will you at the end of the day, I want to ask you, as a matter of fact, I want you to stand. Wait, don't stand yet. I want to see in this room, if your candidate doesn't win, you know how the Republican Party made people pledge, will you all pledge to support whoever wins the nomination? If you will, stand up.
Everybody stood. Hannity, you betrayed your No, I didn't. I didn't change at all. If anything, we stuck by what we said we were going to do. We did it, you decided, and I respect your decision. And I am enthusiastically endorsing and supporting Donald J. Trump for president. And I believe he can beat Hillary Clinton. And I believe that if he does the things that he has promised, conservative justices, you'll know who they are before you vote in November. That's a good thing. if he builds the wall, if he listens to our intelligence officials and doesn't allow in refugees because ISIS might infiltrate that population, if he starts taking care of our vets, if he rebuilds our military, if he lets states decide what to do on education and eliminates Common Core, and if he moves towards energy independence, if he eliminates health care, Obamacare, and replaces it with health savings accounts, and he tries to live within our budget, we're going to be a better country. If he fights ISIS and doesn't give them the strategy but pounds them and bombs the living shh out of them, that's not a bad thing. If he'll say the words radical Islamic terrorism, which he does, that's already a step in the right direction. So I played you at the start of this process, in the middle of this process, and now we're at the end of the process. I told you what I was going to do. I did everything I promised to the best of my ability, along with a great team that works with me every day. And we had all of these people on. And now I am at the point where I said I would be, and I would support the person you chose. All of these people, you've betrayed your principles. You betrayed your values. You betrayed this. No, I made a promise. And I kept my promise. I told you exactly what I was going to do from day one. And I did exactly what I said I was going to do. And for all of you people out there making outlandish, I mean, look, let's be honest. You people in your underwear, you keyboard warriors, you know, in the dark of night, sitting there all hours of day and night, tweeting, Facebooking, Instagramming, doing your thing. You're so brave, courageous, and tough behind that keyboard. I made my promises, and I kept them. I kept my word. And I did it, I think, for all the right reasons. Why did you adopt that strategy, Hannity? Why didn't you go out from day one and pick the person you thought was best able to win and the best person that would govern the best, blah, blah, blah? Because we have a very broad coalition in this audience. I have people in this audience that hadn't made up their minds, number one, and needed a hear from all the candidates. I had people in this audience that supported every one of the 17. So I'm only supposed to support one part of my audience. I figure I have faith in you. I have faith in this audience. I applaud how much effort a lot of you put into making your decision. If you supported Rubio or Kasich or Ted Cruz or Bobby Jindal or Rick Perry or Scott Walker or whoever else was in there, Ben Carson, you made a tough decision. You made it based on where your heart was. I don't have a problem with that. And then those people would get eliminated and maybe you move to another person. Well, now everybody's out but one, and you have a nominee, presumptive nominee. And I said that I would support the nominee that you chose. And I said it with confidence, and I said it knowing darn well, you can hear that I knew exactly what was going to happen way back when. I knew some of you would be angry and emotional, and some of you are. That's not my fault that your guy lost. If you want to know in real time, the people that seem to be the angriest now are the Ted Cruz supporters. Well, in fact, in reality, and I'll put it back up on my website, Senator Cruz had more airtime in pure minutes by far than any other candidate on this radio show. And he had more appearances, we never actually did the time, on TV than any other candidate also. Yes, including Donald Trump. Now, every time we invited one candidate, we invited them all. They all had open access to this show anytime they wanted to come on. And a lot of people never took advantage of it. Some were very difficult to book. And even, by the way, Senator Cruz sometimes could be hard to book, especially at the end. It was hard, but we did our job. We fought. We said, we begged, we pleaded. We said we'd make arrangements. We'd tape it if you needed a tape. We'd do whatever you need. And we'd work it out. So anyway, that's where we are. By the way, 45% of Bernie supporters are ready to join the Never Hillary movement. Wow, Real Clear Politics has this poll up today. Bernie Sanders supporters feeling burned by their own candidates, by Hillary Clinton, rather. And nearly half are planning to give the Democratic frontrunner Hillary Clinton the cold shoulder in November. They quote a YouGov poll that was released today showing 45% of Democrats preferring Sanders in the primary. They don't plan on voting for Hillary Clinton in the general election. You know why they feel that way? Look, as bad as the Republican Party process is and the primary process can be, it's definitely fair. I don't think it's done well. I think you can improve on it. I've offered my suggestions that because it's a national party, states should have options and flexibility. But I think within the confines of choosing a caucus or a primary, not a convention, so you can have maximum participation of the people, I think that every delegate needs to be bound on the first vote at least. I think that, you know, there's just a couple of other, I think the states have to be winner take all or proportional distribution. They can decide on that. But after that, I think it should be pretty mandatory so everyone knows what the process is. And you maximize participation in the process. You know, I was thinking about this whole issue of the Washington Post and their 20 reporters digging up every phase of Donald Trump's life. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, Obama told them to do this last week, the very thing they didn't do to him. And then I took it out on poor Austin Goolsbee when I said to him, hey, did you hear the news that just broke? Donald Trump, actually, before he made his announcement, was hanging out with this guy that bombed the Pentagon, the Capitol, and New York City police headquarters. And the guy's a domestic terrorist, and the guy's not sorry for what he did. And poor Austin Goolsbee fell hook, line, and sinker. How mad is he that I said that? Is he mad? He's so mad, right? He did say he found a tape of Tom Joyner. Oh, I have a great tape of Tom Joyner from years ago. Remember that girl got bit by a shark? Yeah, remember Jack the Knife? Remember that song? Is that what it's called, Jack the Knife? Something like that. Mac the Knife, not Jack the Knife. Mac the Knife. Remember that song? Yeah, they did I think it was his show. I heard a parody song. Maybe it wasn't his show, but I think it was. You know, about biting Whitey. Oh, yeah, the girl that lost her arm from the shark bite. Bethany, I forget her last name, out in Hawaii. Great girl. Yeah. I remember I think it was his show. I'm not sure, though, 100%. Why don't we call him and ask him if it was him? Yeah, Bethany Hamilton is her name, right? Yeah. She actually turned out to be an amazing girl, amazing young girl. All right, 800-941-SEAN is our toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. All right, let's go. Nathan is in Lynchburg, Virginia, the home of Liberty University. What's up, Nathan? How are you, sir?
Hey, Sean. You're the best of the rest. I can tell you that right now.
Mm-hmm. What's going on?
I'm really disappointed with the Republican Party right now. I'm not talking about as a whole, but there's certain members who did take a vow and then talk about Trump not having integrity. But Trump was the only one out of the 17 that said, well, I can't promise you I'm going to support if you nominate someone else or whatever. He's the only one who said that he wouldn't. He was honest from the get-go, like you've been honest from the get-go.
Thank you.
And I'm kind of disappointed in some other talk show hosts, too. I'm not going to mention any names or anything, but I'm just going to say that they're not right now stopping what they're doing and starting to concentrate on Hillary, the great evil, and Obama. If you attack Obama's last part of his term, he won't be getting away with all the stuff he's pushing with the liberal gender in all the states. It's no wonder why Texas wants to secede. I don't blame them. I wish Virginia could secede from this mess. Our only hope.
By the way, if Texas ever does, I'm moving to Texas. I'm going down there.
So am I. It's beautiful out there.
I'm going to have to get over their border fence that they'll be building down there.
Sean, they'll have you. Don't worry about that. They're not going to have schlubs like me. You know what I mean?
No, they'll have you, buddy. They will. Listen, I just ask anyone that's moving to Texas or Florida, if you're coming from liberal northeastern states or California, don't go to Texas and Florida and ruin those states like you ruin the states you're leaving.
Well, Texas won't allow it, so I'm not really worried about it.
Well, a lot of liberals moving to Texas, too. They want to bring their stupid ideas with them, and that scares me.
Did you see what was going on down there in Austin, I think it was?
What was that?
I don't know. There was some protests or something going on down there.
Now, Austin is not really considered part of Texas. That's not considered part of it.
Yeah.
All right, my friend. Thank you. Let's get back to our phones. Diane Syosset, New York, out on Long Island, the all-new AM710 WOR. Hi.
Hi. Yeah, I don't understand. I didn't really buy much of what Mr. Ryan said today in the speech. I taped it and watched it. Am I supposed to believe that a man in his position doesn't know what the front runner of his party stands for by now? He should be listening to your radio show or reading the newspaper, or maybe he should read Crippled America, How to Make America Great Again, which Donald Trump wrote, and basically his whole platform is in that book. I really don't see what took so long for him to gain any understanding, and he still, after today, just basically said, the only thing that rang true to me was that he met him and he is a warm, genuine person. That I could get. But how does someone in his position not know what this man stands for? He's about the only candidate who's been all over the map, every single radio, television show, 24
Look,
hours
maybe,
a day.
Maybe he needed clarification. For example, Donald Trump every once in a while kind of steps in it like every candidate does, and he says, oh, maybe on the minimum wage he needed clarification. Or maybe he needed clarification on raising taxes. Maybe he needed clarification on any or all of the above. I don't know. But I'll tell you this. I don't need clarification at this point.
I don't need clarification. You just watch his interviews in whole, not just the little pieces that, like, you know, CNN takes out of it.
No,
you
exactly.
have to watch them and hear what he says.
Well, we've been doing this every day. I can regurgitate by rote where every candidate stands, and, you know, why he doesn't know at this point, I don't know. And if he needed clarification, I would think that takes 15 minutes. You know, now, we're making dialogue progress. Sounds like it's the Mullahs in Iran negotiating with the U.S., and I'm not talking about an Obama negotiation, which is you basically cave to everything. You know, Ryan has a 40% approval rating now among Republicans. That's not very high. And I think part of it is, I mean, he came on this program. There was great fanfare when he became speaker. He said he was going to give us a contract with America. I'm still waiting for it. Maybe he can build it with Trump. Something, please, somebody, get it done. I don't know. Why do I feel this sense of urgency? And I felt it my entire life to get stuff done. And a lot of people don't seem to have that sense of urgency. By the way, that's a lecture that I give Linda every once in a while. When Linda gets annoyed and frustrated with people, I say, you're not a normal person. You're not. I'm not a normal person. I just have this get it done, crazy attitude. Some people are more laid back. And you've got to accept that you're never going to get a type C personality to move at a type AAA pace. It's never going to happen. So you better not hire them for a type AAA job. And you better hire them for what they're good at and the detail you want for them. Linda still doesn't get it. She's shaking her head, but you do not in your heart get it.
You know, I have my pillow, though, and it really helps me to rest at night after those stressful days.
News roundup, information overload at the top of the hour. Let's get to our phones. We got Ken, Columbus, Ohio. First, this half hour on the Sean Hannity Show. Hi.
Oh, wow. I made top of the pile today. Cool.
Yes, sir. What's going on?
I got a question for you. How do you feel about Obama's trip to Hiroshima? I'm a little steamed about it.
You know what my reaction was? Of course he's got to go there and apologize. Of course. I mean, that's what Obama does. He apologizes for America. I mean, that's the one place he hasn't been to yet. What a shocker.
But
you know something? This is the difference. This is a problem we have in fighting wars that we're going to have to come to grips with in some way, shape, or form. We do not fight wars. You know, we have rules of engagement, for example, in Iraq, Afghanistan, that Obama put on our troops. Well, that ties their hands and that puts their lives at risk. You know, sadly, war is what it is. You're out there to kill the other guy before they kill you. And in the process, unfortunately, innocent people are going to get hurt. So we get sucked into World War II, although many people thought we should have gotten in earlier, especially in Europe, to defeat not the Nazis, et cetera. But anyway, so at Pearl Harbor, we have half our Navy taken out. We have all these servicemen and Navy people in the Navy that were slaughtered, sailors that were slaughtered. And so we engage in World War II. So we have the ability to end the war. We warn the Japanese it's coming. And so we dropped the first bomb, you know, Hiroshima, Nagasaki. We dropped two bombs. Okay, it ends the war. We get an unconditional surrender. And then people will still, to this day, probably like Obama, question the wisdom of Truman making that very difficult decision to save lives. In the end, it stopped the war. Yeah, were people hurt and killed? Yes. Is that called collateral damage? Yes. We didn't start the war. They started the fire, not us. So in that sense, I tend to lean towards saving American lives, especially when we are the victim of an unprovoked attack.
This is true. And Obama needs to be reminded of our history. Truman did not want to drop the bomb at first. It took him a while to come around to it, and he agonized after he did it.
Nobody wants to. When you know something that powerful, is the only people I think would be celebrating a nuclear disaster, a bomb going off, are radical Islamists. Anybody with a heart, a conscience, and a soul recognizes that is not the first option. And you know what? At the end of the day, was it the right decision? I am emphatic in my belief that, yes, it was the right decision. As hard as it is to see the destruction, the damage, the collateral damage, the human tragedy, the human cost, all of that is true. And we do care about it because we're Americans. We care about human beings. But the reality is we didn't start the fire. We didn't start the fight. They bombed us. They hit us in an unprovoked attack, a sneak attack at Pearl Harbor. And we better get used to the idea that when we fight wars, you're going to have to kill a lot of people to win them. We're not starting them. Radical Islamists are at war with us right now, and we're back in our pre-9/11 mentality mode, and we're just going to continue to have incident after incident after incident. Then another big incident will happen, and then people maybe will wake up again. It's sad.
That's true.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Yep.
All right. Thanks, bud. All right. Oh, our buddy. Why not? Play it anyway. All right. Apparently, we're not allowed to play Tavares' opening theme song. Play mine then, I guess. Play somebody's music. Hey, that's ridiculous. All right. Here's Tavares, but it's not really Tavares.
Hey, Sean, it's all right. It's all right.
Well, apparently, we don't have the rights to play it. Is that what? Linda, you got to explain this. I don't know what's going on.
So there's a new set of lawyers that are out and about, and they make their living listening to shows that have money to pay lawsuits, because when you use certain songs and you may or may not have the rights, and you know, they can listen and say, hey, you don't have the rights to play that 30-second clip of that song, and then they sue a show so that they can get a little bang for the
buck. Did we get sued, or we just get a cease and desist?
We have not gotten sued, but we've received some. We're on notice, and so
So we got a cease and desist.
We have not received a cease and desist. That would be inaccurate and not factual. I don't like to give our audience.
I mean, that's one of the reasons that we switched to FGL.
I spoke to FGL, and FGL gave us clear billing to use their.
Yeah,
song,
they did it themselves. They were happy we were doing it,
and they were very kind and they're wonderful about it.
Listen, but we used to play Martina McBride, and then they came after us, and then we also used to play Toby Keith, "We'll Put a Boot in Your Ass," and they came after us for that.
For one line.
One line. One line in the song.
One lousy line.
You know, and I would think it's helpful. I'm playing their stupid music. What's the big deal?
We're using pre-approved music, and it's been fantastic.
Everything is pre-approved now.
Pre-approved.
So I can't play Tavares' theme song from now on whenever he calls the show.
Listen, Tavares needs no song.
Can we find out how much it is, and then I'll pay the rights every time Tavares calls in, just so I have the right to play
it? You don't
think
Tavares is magnanimous enough? Just on his own, he needs a song? He's brilliant.
It's unbelievable.
Tavares, come on, rock our world.
Tavares, they took away your theme music. Sorry, buddy. I'm dealing with lawyers here. You have no idea. You know how many lawyers? I mean, I think I hit my height last year when I got sued by Lindsay and Dina Lohan. I think that actually told me, you know what? Hannity, you're pretty big time now. You got sued by Lindsay Lohan.
You got sued by Lindsay?
Yeah, what am I getting? I got sued by Lindsay and Dina, the mother.
And then
I'm thinking the Kardashians may be next. Who knows? Better not talk about them.
We need to get Trump lawyers on this real quick.
I won the suit.
You won the suit?
Oh, yes,
I'm
sir.
I'm pretty sure you did. Look who you was up against, Sean. I know you were going to win that one.
Here's the thing. People sue, and I'm not saying this was the case in this case. I'm making a broader point and a disclaimer here. But people sue hoping you cave. People sue hoping you're going to pay them off. I'm willing to pay 1,000 times more not to give them a penny, because in some cases, and I'm not saying any specific case, but in some cases, it's nothing but a shakedown. And if you give in and you know to be able to be shaken down, you're going to get shaken down a lot. And guess what? Anybody sues me, I am going to war, and I have the best, most expensive attorneys, and I will pay until I win, and I won.
I'm glad that you do, Sean, and I hope that you never get sued again, because me personally, even though we don't agree, you're a great guy. Hey, my blessing came true yesterday, Sean. I obtained my CDL permit thanks to you.
Oh, by the way, I meant to get an update on this. All right, so last time you called, you said you wanted to go to school, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And I said, all right, if you go to school, I'll take care of it, right? The tuition.
Right.
All right. So I did my part, right?
You did your part.
And now you're in school.
So I'm in school. This is my second week. On Monday,
yeah,
I had to obtain my CDL permit in order to get on the range, in order to drive. So
right.
I did that.
Right.
I passed that with flying colors yesterday. I got my
nice.
I got my
your
my
permit.
So I'm happy about that.
How long
so
does
now,
it take? How long does the school take?
I have 6 more weeks of driving. I have
okay.
to actually drive on the road. I already did. Tomorrow would be the, well, today would be the end of the classroom session.
And now, do they help you with job placement and stuff?
Yeah, they're going to. I have an excellent teacher. He's brought in recruiters already. Yesterday, we saw a couple people. They're great. They come in and they let us know the options that we have. You know, I talked to my wife, man. My wife is so awesome. You know, I'm not going to be around as much, but she's.
Now, you know what you got to do in return, right? You know what I expect in return.
Hey, whatever you need. Whatever you need.
Who you vote?
New York?
Who you voting for? No, I can't. I'm joking.
I'll vote for Sean Hannity 2020.
No. Listen, by the way, for 8 weeks, that school is expensive, man. They better get you a good job.
They will. They're going to give me a good job. Hey, unfortunately, I cannot vote for the divided in chief, Donald Trump. His nickname, Donald Punk, you know, I can't vote for him. I'm sorry.
Tavares.
I love you, Sean.
Hey, Tavares, you don't love me that much because you love me more. If you loved me more, you'd help me out because your state of North Carolina is important. You'd vote for Trump to make. Listen, Trump's going to get you jobs. Trump's going to help build the economy back. Otherwise, you get four more years of Obama, which has been a disaster.
I don't think it's been a disaster.
Yeah,
Sean,
it's
really
been a disaster.
Just because you call it a disaster doesn't
it's
mean
a disaster.
It's a disaster, Sean.
Yeah.
You know. But look what you're getting out of Trump, man. Come on now. Donald Trump, I'm surprised Speaker Ryan didn't go to the ivory towers and sit down and kiss the ring.
All right, now saying this.
I'm
about to bumper you out. So, you know, girl, I've known you very well. I've seen you growing every day. I never really looked before, but now you take my breath away. And suddenly you're in my life, a part of everything I do. You got me working day and night, just trying to keep a hold on you.
Yes.
And then here in my arms, I found my paradise, my only chance at happiness. And if I lose you now, I think I would die. Oh, so you'll always be my baby. You can make it shine. We can take forever, just a minute at a time.
More than a woman. More than a woman to me. The whole team. We're all going to sing it. More than a woman. Yeah, baby, more than a woman to me.
Can we get the rights back, please? Do something. All right, thank you, Tavares. Appreciate it. Good luck in school. Keep me updated.
Appreciate it, Sean. I love you, man.
All right, you're the best. Thank you. I'm happy for you. You know why? What a great guy. He's got a young baby, wants to improve his life. He wanted to go to trucking school. By the way, it's hard work. You got over-the-road trucking is hard. I said, all right, I'll take care of school. Your job is you get it done. You get your degree. All right, let's go. Michael in New Jersey, the all-new AM 710 WOR, the voice of New York. Hi, how are you?
I'm doing fine, sir. I just wanted to tell you something.
Yeah.
I live in a small town in South Jersey, heavily Democrat, and I've been talking to the people, and everybody says they can't support Hillary. They're going to vote for Trump. And this
the
is
only
heavily-
doubt I have about New Jersey is this. In the last 10, 15 years, everybody that was Republican left the state. Now, I say that contradicting myself because Chris Christie won twice.
Yeah.
But I believe there's no doubt New Jersey will be in play. If Hillary wants to win it, she's going to have to spend money in the state. I think New York's a harder play. I think Pennsylvania, you got a better shot there. But I think absolutely New Jersey can be in play with Trump.
Yeah,
100%.
Pennsylvania is probably in play. My daughter lives over there up in the Poconos.
Yeah.
And she's telling me the same thing. People she talks to say there's no way that they can vote for Hillary. They're going to vote for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just I'm hearing that from a lot of people in Pennsylvania and Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems like I know the polls are saying, you know, it's tight and close. I think the polls are underestimating Trump's popularity. I think people right now are just a little scared to say, yeah, we support him, but I think it's going to be a totally different outcome than a lot of people are thinking.
I'm not going to make a prediction. I'm working on the assumption that we're behind. I'm working on the assumption it's going to be hard, close, and a tough fight. I'm working on the assumption that nothing is easy in life, And anybody that's telling you it is, I don't think is telling you the truth. All right, back to our phones. Thank you, Michael. Victor in Atlanta, News Talks WSB. What's going on, sir? How are you?
Hey, Sean, I'm doing great. I just want to let you know what's kind of going on in my world. I'm of Mexican descent, and I can't tell you the response that I'm getting from some of my fellow Hispanics that when they ask me, so what are you going to do? You're going to vote for this guy Trump? You're going to vote for this guy Trump? Well, I got to tell you, Trump wasn't my first choice. He wasn't even my second choice. But I'm never Hillary choice. And I told them that I would crawl to the voting booth if I had to and vote for Trump, because there's just so much more to this than just words. You know, I'm smart enough to know, yeah, so Donald Trump says some things, big deal. We got to look at the big picture here. And the thing that's going to help people the most are we expanding the economy? Are we protecting the citizens? Are we protecting the sovereignty of the United States? And then they look at me and go, well, what about the wall, the wall? You know what? I'll go down, and in Spanish, I'll nail the first nail into the wall, because it's a security issue, and it has nothing to do with the Mexican people. And when I try and tell them, you know, the United States has lifted more people out of poverty. We go everywhere around the world to help people. And I don't understand why people can't see this. So when they ask me about the wall, I proudly say that. And there's so many things we could do. I got an idea. I know a way we could build that wall, and it's already funded. I mean, we've got 1 million reservists in this country from the Army, Navy, Air Force,
well,
Marine.
Look, I'm only running out of time, but I got to tell you something. I don't see one reason. Look, you may disagree with what we do with the illegal immigrants here, but we got to. ISIS can cross that border along with people that just want a better life. And yes, criminals are and have crossed that border. And we're literally, the country is not safe as a result. It's just dumb.
So, Mr. Speaker, I read that statement as well, and I'm still up a little confused. Are you endorsing Donald Trump?
Look,
if you're not, what is holding you back? And do you really have a choice? I mean, what, without voting for Hillary Clinton,
the process of unifying the Republican Party, which just finished a primary about a week ago, perhaps one of the most divisive primaries in memory, takes some time. Look, there are people who are for Donald Trump, who are for Ted Cruz, or for John Kasich, who are for Marco Rubio and everybody else. And it's very important that we don't fake unifying, we don't pretend unification, that we truly and actually unify so that we are full strength in the fall. I don't want us to have a fake unification process here. I want to make sure that we really truly understand each other and that we are committed to the conservative principles that make the Republican Party, that built this country. And again, I'm very encouraged. I heard a lot of good things from our presumptive nominee, and we exchanged differences of opinion on a number of things that, you know, everybody knows we have. There are policy disputes that we will have. There's no two ways about it. Plenty of Republicans disagree with one another on policy disputes, but on core principles. Those are the kinds of things that we discuss. And again, I'm encouraged.
All right. So they're big encouraged, joint statement. And as I said earlier, you would think it was the United States, a president, a secretary of state meeting with the mullahs of Iran. It's getting so out of hand here. Anyway, joining us now, Dr. Gina Loudon is with us, and Chris Hahn of the ever-growing Chris Hahn radio program, now on two stations all around the nation.
We're taking over the world, baby.
Two hours a week you got, Chris?
I do 2 hours a week. It plays about 6 hours a week. It gets rerun a couple times.
A couple times. I mean, that's almost like, you know, 1,000 listeners. It's amazing. Anyway, welcome back to the program.
I'm about 900 listeners. It's just getting there. We're doing okay.
All right, so I understand your giddiness probably that Paul Ryan's withholding his nomination. Personally, I think it's a game of chicken that they're playing, and I think they want to influence Trump, and I don't think it's going to work. But then you got Bernie Sanders predicting Trump will crush Hillary Clinton. Then you look at the exit polls out of West Virginia. Half of Bernie's West Virginia voters say they're going to back Trump over Hillary.
Yeah.
Hillary's own campaign is warning her own donors that she might lose all the remaining primaries. And if you look at where she was in 2008, she got 67% of the vote in West Virginia. She had 240,000 votes in 2008, and she got less than 85,000 the other night. Now, that sounds to me like a very weak candidate. And for all the talk about Republicans that probably you want to engage in today, you're looking at somebody that doesn't have the political warmth and charm of her husband, somebody that does not have the oratory skills of Barack Obama, Barack Hussein Obama, and who is at best, and I'm being charitable here, a mediocre candidate. And the polls now show it's tied in Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Florida. And donors on the Democratic side are scared to death Trump hasn't even started on her.
Well, I think, look, the point you make about West Virginia, look, they don't like President Obama in West Virginia.
Hillary, that's why.
Hillary made those quote.
And what about the 20 other states that she lost?
Hey, look, it is what it is. Bernie Sanders does well when the vote is predominantly white, overwhelmingly male. And Hillary does well in states that look like the Democratic coalition. And I expect her to continue to do well.
Okay, you say that, but if you take away the superdelegates that stack the deck in her favor,
right,
it would be a neck-and-neck race, no guarantee that she'd be the nominee.
She's still up by about 300
less than
delegates
that.
And about 3 million votes. So, okay. You know, Bernie Sanders likes to
why? Because she ran up the numbers in New York. She ran up in let me bring
Obama,
in
Sean. One point, because we were doing this in 2008. President Obama never had more than 150 pledged delegate lead over Hillary Clinton. And Hillary Clinton came around. It's time for Bernie Sanders to wake up.
Okay, here's the difference, though. Gina Loudon. Hillary Clinton was a known entity.
Right.
Nobody.
Household name.
She's running against a 74-year-old bitter, angry, disheveled, communist, socialist from Vermont.
She is. And at this point, she's lost, 20 different primaries to him. Yeah. She has only about 60% of the vote. And I don't see how in the world anyone is enjoying, anyone on Chris's side. I really want to hear from Chris right now, because I think this is a day where we have seen what no one thought was going to happen. Republicans, Sean, are united, and the Democrats are fractured.
Exactly united. I mean, Paul Ryan's doing his little dance.
They're talking. They're coming around. They're calling Donald Trump the presumptive nominee. I mean, but you don't have that on your side. In fact, things are intensifying and fracturing worse on the Democrat side.
Hang on.
Chris's side is in trouble.
Gina's raising a great point here, and that is, Trump had 16 other opponents, and he's already won.
And there's been no fire on Hillary. Who's fired on Hillary?
Then you got this one disheveled, angry, bitter socialist from Vermont, 74 years old.
By the way, I'm not disagreeing with you about that, so there you go.
Okay, I mean, that is kicking her ass from sea to shining sea.
And he won't even talk about the biggest issue, which is the whole email server issue.
Exactly.
He won't even talk about that. And she's still being slaughtered in it. It makes no sense.
Look,
they do not have a good candidate, Sean.
I know that in certain fantasies in the conservative right, the email is an actual issue, but in the real world that I live in, it's not. So,
wait a minute. You say that, but James Comey is a guy that, has been very clear in correcting Hillary Clinton. This is a criminal investigation that is ongoing. Huma Abedin, Cheryl Mills, Hillary Soon herself, Sid Vicious Blumenthal, they're all being called in. Now, this is after the FBI got access to the 30,000 emails that she deleted that were supposed to be about yoga, a wedding, a funeral, and conversations with her husband who doesn't use email. So it will be interesting to find out what they found. But I don't think they'd be interviewing at the end of the process all of these high-level people if, in fact, their investigation found nothing to warrant such discussions.
I think they're being thorough, and I think they should be thorough. This is a presidential campaign. The people want to have answers. I think they will be thorough, and I think nothing will come of it. Maybe some changes in policy internally, but there were no laws broken.
Yeah, but you know what? Mishandling itself of classified information is a felony in and of itself.
Well, it depends on what
they classified. And remember, they also, a guy that pled the fifth by the names of Brian Pagliano, here's a guy, pleads the fifth. They now have given him immunity. Now, you've got to believe they wouldn't be giving somebody immunity to testify. He's the one that set up the server for Hillary. If they didn't think that something tawdry and illegal was going on.
I find it hard to believe that the presidential election will be determined by name calling and email scandals.
No one's talking.
Okay. Say it's not though, Chris. What are you? How? Sell. Give your elevator pitch for your candidate right now, because I can't think what in the heck I would do if Hillary Clinton were my candidate right now. I'd be in a world of hurt, especially watching the way the conservatives are coalescing on the other side.
Well, here's the thing. I know her, and I know that she'll be a phenomenal president. And I also know that, look, she's not the greatest campaigner, and that's something that is not a natural fit for her, like it was for her husband, like it was for President Obama, like it is for Donald Trump, frankly.
How's she going to win, though, Chris?
I do know that she's a hard worker and she's brilliant, and that she'll do what's right for this country. So I'm excited to support her, and I'm excited that she's going to be our nominee. And you make a good point, but parties go through primaries all the time, and at the end of it, they unify. I fully expect the Republicans to unify behind Donald Trump, and I fully expect the Democrats to unify behind Hillary. I've been to many, many bitter primaries on the local and federal level in my career, and it always turns out the same. The parties unify.
I will say this. I will say this, Chris. You on the other side have always been, you Democrats on the other side have always been so infinitely much better at the political game than the right side of politics. I am the first to admit I am flabbergasted that this meeting took place today, that I think there was something like a chill happening up Ryan's leg or something. Something really great happened there. He said good things about the meeting. Was it a chill or a thrill? I don't know. But I am
as
shocked.
I think it was a chill because he didn't endorse. So if it was a thrill, he would have endorsed.
I'm as shocked as anybody that this is going the way it's going.
Let me give you some therapy here. I fully believe Paul Ryan within the next 6 weeks.
Stop for a second. Stop for 1 second. You know what? With all due respect, you voted for Obama twice. If anybody needs therapy in this room, it's you.
Thank you.
I mean, you're out of your mind. And, with all due – Chris, you
– I need therapy, Sean, but not for my electoral choices.
All right, so here I'm going to give you a quiz. Name the three biggest things that Obama has successfully accomplished in his presidency.
Well, how about Obamacare? That's pretty damn big.
Wait, stop for a second. Stop. You mean Obamacare? People lost their doctors, lost their plan.
Nobody lost
Excuse
their doctors.
Me.
Cost
oh, yeah.
A fortune.
Oh, yeah. And the average increase, we didn't save $2,500, was between 35 and 50% this year.
And it's going up.
And it's going up
another 17%
in October. All right, so that doesn't count. Go.
Try again.
Wait, go.
How about 7 years of consecutive job growth in America?
Stop. We have millions more Americans in poverty, millions more in food stamps. We have the lowest labor participation rate in 40-some-odd years, and you guys don't count people that are chronically unemployed.
One in five people don't work, you say every day on your show. One in five families have no one employed. One in five.
20% of American families don't have a single member of their family in the workforce. Try again. Ready? Go.
You don't count the millions of jobs he's created.
Okay, now you're repeating yourself. Stop. We'll start again. Ready? Go.
How about marriage equality being accepted across this country? I'll take that as an accomplishment.
Marriage equality. What did he do for marriage equality?
On the Supreme Court. I'll take that as an accomplishment. How about Merrick Garland, who will be on the Supreme Court by July 15th?
Not going to happen. Not going to happen.
Speaking of fantasies.
Well, how much do you want to bet on that?
I'll bet you an appearance on my show, Sean.
How much do you want to bet in real dollars,
though? I'll give you 22 full minutes on the Chris Hahn Show.
Okay. How much do you want to bet in real dollars?
Sean, I live in your neighborhood, but not in your neighborhood, if you know what I mean.
He already owes me a steak dinner, Chris Hahn
does.
This is what needs to happen, Sean. You need to bring him here, and we need a big sofa over here in the corner of your studio for him to lay down on so that we can help him, because this man, he needs
help. I would love to
lay
down on the sofa while you were...
Well, Dr. La, she is a doctor. She
I
has
know.
A.
She's fantastic.
She has a PhD, right? You have a PhD?
Yeah.
And you have how many master's degrees?
Just a couple. I didn't want to get a real job.
You didn't want. So you stayed in school.
Stayed in
for
school.
All?
You should
all right.
be voting for Bernie.
But the reality is. But here's the thing. He also said that $9 trillion in debt was irresponsible and unpatriotic. What's our debt now, Chris Hahn?
It's more than that.
How much more?
But most of it.
How
is
much?
On wars
excuse me.
Start.
How much more is it?
Would it be double?
He will accumulate, your buddy Obama, more debt than every other president before him combined.
Double.
It takes two to tango, and Congress is right there with them.
I actually blame Congress, too, because they wouldn't stand up to him. They were pretty weak, but it doesn't matter. It happened on his watch. It's his bat, it's his ball, and it's his responsibility, and it's his record.
The United States economy has been growing faster than any other economy in the world. We did not have the same recession that the rest of the world.
I mean, how about where we are with education? The more money we put into education, literally the lower we go incrementally. It makes no sense, because all of the policies of Obama and all of the policies of the Clinton administration, and frankly, the Hillary Clinton administration, which would be so much worse, are sinking the United States. How can you possibly not see this? You have zero data to back up anything you say.
Blaming only Democrats for this problem.
Wait, can I straighten you out?
I agree.
It's your policy.
He will be the only president in the history of this country to never have reached 3% GDP, ever. That's how bad his economic policies have been.
Considering where we were going, it's amazing we had growth.
Okay, so 8 years of Obama have resulted in millions more in poverty, millions more on food stamps, millions more out of the labor force, median income down $5,000 on average.
Right.
We have fewer homeowners than we've ever had before.
More failing businesses.
And you have the largest accumulation of debt. He will accomplish something nobody's ever accomplished, and that is taking on more debt than every other president before him combined. That's 43 other people. 43 other people. He took on more debt than all of them combined.
Sean, Chris has nothing to say.
I know you're obsessed with the debt, but you know when you're in a crisis like
this. He didn't just say the debt, Chris. He just listed off a litany of like 25 things, and you still have not given a fact to counter it.
Wait a minute. I'm not the only one obsessed with the debt. You know who else used to be obsessed with the debt? The guy that you worship, idolize, and adore.
The way Bush has done it over the last 8 years is to take out a credit card from the Bank of China in the name of our children, driving up our national debt so that we now have over $19 trillion of debt.
$19 trillion.
We're going to have to pay back. That's irresponsible. It's unpatriotic.
So he's irresponsible and unpatriotic, right, Chris?
Absolutely not. He's a great patriot and one of our best presidents.
By the way, I have one thing to say to you, Chris. Checkmate. Have a good day.
Checkmate.
The following is a high-five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
I won! Yahoo! Private, put down your phone. This is the army.
Sarge, High Five Casino is a social casino. It's on your phone. Goes wherever you go. I win free spins, cash, prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. I won again!
Platoon, present cell phone. High Five!
High Five!
Casino!
Casino!
Win at HighFiveCasino.com!
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.